Okay, there's a lot of things that rise up in our life that can draw us away a little bit, but we're going to talk about the God of all gods. And I believe by the end of today that you will be very much encouraged just to walk by faith in God. And that's what really it's about. If we're in church, we ought to be pointed in that direction and learning about Him and what He's done, and that's what we're going to do today. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we honor You this morning with our heart, our minds, our lips. Father, we're worshiping You in adoration. We exalt the King of Kings and give all that we have unto You, Lord, by laying down our own life and taking up the cross of Christ. We believe on what You did through Him, and we receive it. And today we give You the praise and the glory. Encourage us through Your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to talk about some different sayings that I've heard a little bit, and one of them is about God's calling during church. You know, I've heard Christians say a lot over the years that they don't know how the lost can make it through trials. Okay, people that don't know God, they don't know Jesus, and they wonder, how can the lost make it through trials? And so they say, and I've even said myself, that if I didn't have God with me during those trials, that I simply wouldn't have made it through. Okay, I probably would have fell apart. I know that I have said of myself that without knowing that God was with me during those trials, I probably wouldn't be here today. I mean, it was that dire that you have to know that God is there. Well, it's also been said that during the trials and the adversities of life, the things that come up, that's when you're going to find out what you're made of. Okay, you're going to find out what's deep at your core. It's sort of like a sifting or a shaking takes place in your life so that the things of God may remain, and the things of the world or things of the flesh are going to be sifted away. And in the end, you're going to be more and more Christ-like through that. The writer of Hebrews expressed that in Hebrews 12:27. He says, "And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things that which cannot be shaken may remain." Okay, so there's a shaking going on. So the things that were made by man, in other words, or made by your flesh, will be falling away and sifted away. Okay, several years ago, there was a very traumatic event that took place in our country. And some of you remember September 11th, 2011. Okay, some demonically influenced men flew airplanes into the Twin Towers in New York. They flew supposedly one into the Pentagon, and there was a fourth one that crashed in Pennsylvania out in a field somewhere. Okay, well, one of the passengers on that Pennsylvania plane had a cell phone and had dialed it in to a family member before the plane went down. And so as the plane is making its final descent into the ground, you begin to hear on that call, they replayed the audio of that phone call, and you could hear the reaction of the passengers as that plane plummeted towards the ground. And it ended up being a mixture of outcry. Okay, some of them were screaming obscenities and cussing and cursing at the world that they were about to say goodbye to. Okay, and yet others, because of the deep sense of knowing that God was with them, like what we're talking about this morning, rather than cursing the world, they simply cried out to Jesus in a confident expression, knowing that God had been with them all the time, and now they were simply going to be with Him. Okay? And so it's what's on the inside. My point of that story is that what is deep in the hearts of the people is what manifested when it counted most. Okay? Now, I have a deep knowing inside of me, something that's deep within my spirit. Okay? And that is that God is not only real, okay, but that He is with me at all times. And that He is bigger than anything that I may face. Okay, during the biggest, most difficult of trials, I know that He still loves me, that He cares for me, that He is for me and not against me. And I know deep down inside, everything's going to be okay. Okay, I know that. Okay, and that is such a deep-rooted part of my life that when the things come, and they do, like a pool flying up in the air is kind of a funny one, but believe me, as a pastor and minister's family, we get attacked by the enemy on a regular basis. And so when those things come, I always have that knowing inside. And my kids, my wife, my family can always come to me knowing that I'm going to resort back to God is still on the throne. We are going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, thank God, most of us will never have to face an imminent life or death moment like those passengers on that airplane. Okay, but what we will have to face, and what you will have to face, are things like difficulties in relationships. Okay, you're going to face self-centered coworkers. You're going to come up against job changes or job losses. You're going to endure, you know, the sickness coming against your body, and even all the way to the point of losing loved ones. Okay, that's an inevitable part of life, things that we are going to encounter in life. Throughout our lives, we need to make it our goal to really, and I know I use this word a lot, solidify. Okay, make it so that it's not fluid moving around. Make it solid. Solidify in our hearts who the God of all gods is. Okay, and decide and determine who is on the throne of your life. Okay, who is it that is at the head of your life? Okay, the sooner that we do that, and the sooner that we establish who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is for our life, the sooner and more confidently we can endure any trial that comes our way with more of a, rather than a cursing or anxiety, we deal with it with a hope in our hearts. We deal with it with a song of praise on our lips. We deal with it with a peace in our minds, knowing that everything is going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Okay, and we got to get that anchor on the inside that says, I know that I know that I know that God is on the throne of my life and that I'm going to be okay because He is with me. Okay, now there are some trials in our lives that are going to be inevitable. Okay, we just this past week on Friday, we went as a family to Cheyenne to see an elderly friend who had recently lost her husband just a few days before. And so we went to go out to eat and spend some time with her. But when we talked with her, she said that she knew that this time was coming, but it still hurts just the same. Okay, even though she had planned for it and prepared, she knew it was coming, it still hurt. Okay, it was an unavoidable pain in her life that she knew she was just going to have to endure. And I think it was Leon that actually said, the one thing that helped her at that time when she lost her husband was remembering that's one pain you will never have to endure again. Okay, because of that, that moment had come and had gone. Okay, other troubles, now that's, you know, death. Death is inevitable. But there's other troubles that come in your life. There's other stressors and things that might frustrate you or make you anxious or fearful or, you know, stir you up inside that are often more avoidable. And if not avoidable altogether, they can at least be diminished. Okay, it doesn't have to be this giant. It can be this small thing that is easily taken care of. Okay, those things don't have to dominate and dominate our life and make us miserable. Okay, we don't have to be made to feel that way by the things that rise up in life. Some of those things are just what we let the devil or we let our own mind kind of run rampant with and let it run astray instead of bringing it into subjection or renewing our mind with the Word of God. And if we don't do that, the devil will run away with us and make us miserable. He'll punish us. He'll say, you're not stopping me. I'm going to go as far as I can go. And the devil will just keep running away and try to make you miserable, make you suffer and endure unnecessary suffering. Okay, well, the world, I said I was going to talk about expressions. The world has a lot of expressions. I use the word plethora. It has a plethora of expressions about how people let their minds exaggerate the problems that arise in life. Okay, one of them that first came to mind was making a mountain out of a molehill. Okay, everybody probably heard of that at some point. That expression, they say, is about, was it 400 years old? But the language scholars think it actually came from an even older expression from the 1500s about making an elephant out of a fly. Okay, making an elephant out of a fly. And I don't know if it was a fly got in the house and, you know, they're chasing it around like it's a big elephant or what the deal was. But that expression has been around for a long time. Okay, another phrase that people use is, there's no use crying over spilled milk. Okay, the idea behind that is that spills are going to happen, so rather than making a big deal out of it, you just clean it up, pour yourself another glass of milk, and move on with your life. Okay, finish your meal. Okay, however you want to describe it, or whatever phrase you want to use, the devil has gotten pretty good about deceiving people into thinking that their little problems are enormous. Okay, and just keep speaking the right things to you in your mind or putting people or things in your place that says, this isn't a little problem, this is massive. Okay, and if you've ever had, I've had friends that, you know, I might have something going on, I kind of share with them, they say, you got anything you want to pray about? And I'm like, well, yeah, well, I guess we could pray about this. Oh, man, that's massive. And they start talking about how big your problem is, and all of a sudden, this little thing that wasn't much of a deal to you, they've made it into this monster that is going to take over your life if we don't do something right now, and they make a big deal out of it, okay? So you got to be careful sometimes with who you're sharing things with is kind of where that's going. However you describe it, the devil's gotten good at doing that. Now, Christians may be somewhat less prone to do this, but I've noticed that even Christians, sometimes we make our problems out to be bigger than our God. Okay, now we say we're Christians, we're Christ followers, we believe on the Son of God, we believe in the Almighty God who created the Son of God, who sent the Son of God and the Holy Spirit for us, but yet we make our problems out to be bigger than our God. Okay, and that's even believers will do that. Usually when it happens, it's because we've transferred our focus from the greatness of our God onto the greatness of our problem. Okay, and looking at how big it is, and boy, I don't know how we'll ever get through this. This looks like something that God has probably never had to deal with this before. Okay, this is unique, you know. And we try to come up with all these reasons why it's too big for God. Okay, self-centeredness often kicks in, and we become more aware of the issue that's in front of us, more aware of how this little problem is affecting me personally, instead of looking and focusing on how the great big God has already started to address it. He's already dealing with it if we look at what he is up to. Okay, so we do well when we esteem God for who he is. Okay, and remember that he is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Almighty God. Okay, it's like God reminded Isaiah in Isaiah 40:25. He says, to whom then will you liken me, or who shall I be equal? You know, who is God's equal? This is saith the Holy One. This is God speaking to him. And the idea is that it's not God and the devil as equal powers. It's a great big God and a little tiny devil down here. Okay, they're not even on the same page. They're not in the same category. This is the creator of the universe. This is a created being. Okay, they're not in the same game. It'd be like putting a little peewee 4-year-old out on a football field with the Denver Broncos. Okay, it's not even in the same game. Okay, so we got to quit seeing them as equal, because God even chided Isaiah a little bit and says, "Who are you going to liken me to? Who am I equal to? Why would you even think that it would be a problem for me?" Colossians 1:16 says that God is the creator of all things. It says, for by him were all things created, all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's not in a category with anything else. God is alone. Deuteronomy 5:17 says that we should not make any gods or esteem anything higher than him. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth, in case you want to make an idol out of a fish or something. Okay? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to any of them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He wants your attention. He wants your focus. He wants your worship. He wants your adoration. He wants you to set Him up on the throne in your mind and in your heart where He truly is, and then leave Him there. Even as Hannah sang out a song of thankfulness, she declared in 1 Samuel 2:2 that there is no God like our God. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Okay? The psalmist puts it very well when he proclaims in Psalm 18:1, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Okay, he goes on in Psalm 118. Another one says, Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Okay, Isaiah again declares the greatness of our God. Okay, think of the names that I'm naming. David and Isaiah and Hannah. Some of these are characters or people of the Bible that we know that have been through ups and downs in life. But they got to a point where they realized the answer is to exalt God. Okay, Isaiah 25:1, he said, O Lord, thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, are of faithfulness and truth. Okay, now, as a family, we've been studying the book of Judges as a family in the mornings as part of our morning Bible study. And it is such a clear message, that book is, of what happens when people begin to esteem any people or idol or God equal to or greater than God. And you get to see this pattern over and over again of this apostasy where people, they start straying away from the ways of God. Then they become oppressed by their enemy. Then they realize the error of their ways and they repent. They turn away from that and say, God, we need you. They cry out to God, and of course God delivers them. Well, I'm telling you that you do not have to go through that cycle. You don't have to go through the cycle of, okay, I love God, then I begin to stray away from God, I begin to get overwhelmed and consumed, and so then I realize what's going on and I turn back, and then God will deliver me again. You don't have to cycle over and over and over again, okay? Because I'm telling you, you don't have to do that when you esteem God high above all gods, and you worship Him continually. Because even the people of Israel had peace and prosperity as long as their current king stayed true and faithful to God. Their lives were good. They did not fall into the hands of their enemy. They did not stray into apostasy. But as soon as they would begin to backslide, or the king would die, they'd get a new evil king, and all of a sudden they're straying off. Then they're getting into trouble. Their lives are miserable. They deal with it, have to turn back unto God. So as long as what's at the top is still praising and worshiping God and being faithful to Him, you don't have to cycle through all these things until you get overwhelmed and then you cry out to God. You can live on top. You can live in the high plane. You can be above and not beneath. You can live in that even keel where you're not swinging like a roller coaster. Okay? Now, we get off track at times when we start letting the problem get and have a bigger platform in our life than we are giving to God. Okay, you guys remember Adam and Eve, part of their problem was they believed the devil more than they believed God. Okay, because God had already given them instruction and they began to stray from that. And when they did is when they got into trouble. Okay, well, King David is another example. He is another guy that had seen ups and downs in his life, but he began to figure it out. Okay, at a humble moment in his life, he prayed a prayer of thanksgiving that included this in 1 Chronicles 29. He said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Okay, he put it into perspective. Later again, David exhorts us in Psalm 66:1. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, ye all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and all the earth shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah," or think on it. Pause and think on that. Okay, Psalm 145, David says again, "Lord, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee." Get that? "Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Today, forever. Okay? "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Okay, that word unsearchable in Hebrew, it comes from two different root words. One is penetrate, the other is nothing or non-existent. Okay, what it means is that the greatness of our God is so much that the end of his greatness is non-existent. It keeps going and going and going. David was expressing that no one has ever penetrated deep enough into the greatness of God to find the end of it. That's how great he is. He is that awesome. So we have to acknowledge the Almighty God is up on his throne and then leave him there. Okay, let him remain in power, in other words. Don't try to form a coup and get God off his throne, but let him be who he is. The Psalms are full of the attitude that we want to have towards our Lord and our King. Psalm 18:46 says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Okay, listen to how many times these guys say this. Let God be exalted, let the world be diminished. Okay, Psalm 21:13. "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power." Psalm 57:5, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth." Psalm 97:9 says, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods." Psalm 118:28 says, "Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee." Okay, when you get into situations, you recall these scriptures where these guys are saying, "My God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God is enormous compared to anything that comes that your way." Okay, we can stand up against them. Remind yourself that you have at your disposal the name of the Son of God, Jesus. He gave us the name which is above all names, right? All the power, all the strength, all that authority that he has that was given to him, he said, "Behold, I give it to you." And there is nothing that can stand up against him or up against you with him in you. Okay, Philippians 2:9. It says, "Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, both of things in heaven and things on earth." That means what you see in the natural and in the heavenly realm is under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. It says, "All things in the earth and under the earth." Okay, Jesus and God are higher, bigger than them all, and he lives within us. Psalm 57:2 says, "I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performs all things for me." Okay, again, just an indication, we lay it all on him and not pull that strength back onto ourselves. You remember all the scriptures we were reading? "Unto thee, O Lord, and unto thy strength is all the power." Okay, they knew where that power was coming from. But this one, the psalmist says, "I will cry unto God most high." See, there's high, and then there's most high. Okay, there's the little false gods, and then there's the God. Okay, there's kings, and there's the King of Kings. There's lords, and there's the Lord of Lords. Okay, there is high and there's most high. don't know if you knew this, but in around the earth, there's over 100 mountains that are over 23,000 feet high. But there's only one that is the most high mountain. Okay? The highest point on earth is still Mount Everest. Okay? 26,029 feet. Okay? Out of all the 100 mountains that are over 23,000, those are high mountains, believe me. But there's only one that is most high of the mountains on earth. What the devil will try to convince you is that whatever trial he has thrown into your path is higher than the most high God. Okay, but it's not. The famous Grand Tetons of Wyoming are often referred to as the highest peaks in Wyoming. But in reality, they are not. Okay, Gannett Peak is about 70 miles away from the Grand Tetons, and it is actually the highest point in Wyoming at 13,084 feet. It beats out the Grand Tetons by a mere 34 feet, but it is still the highest point in Wyoming. It's not going to lose that title. The Tetons are not growing and going to be bigger than they are. Okay, just because someone says that the Tetons are the grandest and the greatest and the highest in Wyoming does not mean that they really are. Okay, the devil will tell you that your problem is greater than God, but it is not. We serve the Most High God. In the end, we just need to settle down. We need to rest. We need to understand that God is with us and He will not forsake us. He is well able to handle any and all the problems that arise in your life. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Again, think on those things. Okay, we want to be on a very personal and intimate relationship with the Almighty God in the days that we live in today and to prepare us for what's yet to come. The day is coming when all things seen and unseen will be shaken. And in that day, we need to know that God is with us. Okay, our God is so awesome that when you put everything in perspective by comparing it to His greatness, the greatness of our God, it will bring the size of your mountain back down to the size of a molehill. Okay, it will put the mistakes that you make, the mess ups, and it will put them back into the category of spilled milk. Okay, you clean up the mess, you pour yourself another glass, and you move on. Okay, you go on with life. And at the end of every trial, we will be able to say to God, "I would not have been able to make it through, but I knew that You were with me. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I have God. That's all I need to know. I am going to be okay." Convince yourself and tell the devil to quit it. Tell him to shut up. Tell him to get out of your head. Tell him to quit messing with you and thinking that he is higher than God. He is a little tiny speck compared to the God I serve. Okay? And if we put him in that perspective, he'll rise up. He'll throw things at you. He'll throw a, pool up into the air. Okay? But it didn't even faze us. My kids didn't cry. We didn't throw, stuff down on the ground and be mad. None of that. It didn't even affect us. We saw it for what it is, and we moved on from that. I want to close out with a song this morning, one that you guys are all probably know about. If you guys are been around the Christian world for very long, you've heard of Awesome God. Okay, and I just want to sing the chorus of that together and remind ourselves of the great and awesome King that we serve. He is exalted. He is worthy of everything we've got. And just if we fall short, if we're not giving Him everything we think we ought to, hang in there, because God is still on the throne, even of your life, even of your mess ups, even of your shortcomings, even of your not enoughs yet. Okay, if you feel like you got to do more, ask the God who's given you the strength you already got. Okay, so just keep going to Him. Go to Him again and again and again. For it is of the Lord thy God that we get our strength. He is an awesome and great God and the God above all gods. Amen.
Oh God, He's an awesome God. God, he reigns, the heavens above with wings. Dumb power and love, our God is an awesome God. Our God, he's an awesome God, he reigns, the heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns, the heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. You reign, you reign, you reign above the earth. You reign, you reign, you reign above the earth. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. The heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. The heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns, the heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. You reign, you reign, you reign above the earth. You reign, you reign, you reign above it all. You reign. You reign above the earth. You reign, you reign, you reign above it all. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. The heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. The heavens above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Praise you, Father God. We exalt you this morning. Lord, I pray that your anointing that is filled and flowing through our lives right now will never cease, but let it grow and grow and grow, Father. We exalt you, we worship you, we adore you and praise you for your greatness. Father, your greatness is so deep that we have never seen the end of it and we never will. We'll keep pressing into you for more and more and more. Father, I pray that as we leave here this morning that we're different than when we came in. I pray that we have been filled with a faith toward the awesome God, the greatness of the Almighty God, that we are filled with a love and a passion to serve you, knowing that you are with us, you never leave us, you never forsake us, you never turn a cold shoulder to us, Lord, you never reject us. Lord, we just receive that this morning, and we walk out of here knowing that you are with us, and it's going to be all right. Father, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.